Time to take a look at vehicle maintenance on the show today. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Really pleased to have you with us today. We're going to talk about gas mileage, which cars will give you the best bang for your buck, and of course, take your vehicle maintenance questions as we move along. And welcoming to the microphone, Dennis Witoon. Dennis is an ASE Master Technician with Toyota of Brookfield. More than 30 years of experience with vehicle maintenance and repair, and he's worked with lots of cars, more than just Toyotas, in case you're wondering. Has your car been giving you trouble lately? Maybe the gas prices have you thinking of getting a different car? Are you looking for ways to save some gas money? Love to hear from you. Join in at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Dennis Witoon, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me today.
Tell us a little about yourself and what you're working on these days.
Well, I work at Toyota Brookfield, of course, used car technician, so I get ready the used cars for the lot, so safety inspection, go through them. And I'm an ASE Master Technician, been that since 1991.
That's a long time, and I've seen that ASE many, many times, and I thought, I wonder what it all means. So this morning, I went online and looked it up, and it is very detailed. I mean, I was seeing 9 separate tests, 535 questions.
Correct, yes.
So you're covering the whole broad range.
They get very in-depth with it, for sure.
It's amazing. Well, if you're going to stretch your gas mileage, I imagine you've learned a couple of things about that along the way.
Yes, I probably have.
So what are the best ways to do it?
There's several things you can do. Making sure your tires are aired up in good shape. Also, your brakes hanging up. This is Wisconsin. Sometimes the brakes like to corrode and rust and hang up, and you're not even aware of it. So having them checked, once a year is a good thing to do. Also, if your car's getting up there in mileage, running a nice injector cleaner in the gas tank, you just pour it in the gas tank. Keeps the injectors clean and running good.
So those are 3 tips right off the top of your head, which certainly make a lot of sense to me. A lot of people may be still hitting out. I know it's getting to the end of the summer season, but I know some families that are getting in a last vacation, which involves automobile trips.
Yes.
Before you head out on the road for a big trip, anything to check or what should you check before you leave with the car?
A very good practice would be to bring the car into your mechanic, have them change the oil, and give it a quick check over for you. We call it a multi-point inspection, and then that checks your brakes and your tires and any leaks or any of that stuff. So you have a peace of mind, actually, basically, about your car being good on the trip.
And as we think about cars, what are the most fuel-efficient cars on the road these days, to your mind?
Well, obviously, the hybrids are the most fuel-efficient. And then the smaller, like the Toyota Corolla is very fuel-efficient, and the smaller cars are.
Well, we've got callers online to talk with you. But before we do that, have you been following all the new electric cars?
Yes.
Are there some that you might recommend in that area?
Well, this electric car thing is coming out, and we're all excited about it. We don't really have the infrastructure for charging, though, as such. So it's going to take a little while to get that going.
Yeah, I think with the president signing that latest bill, I think there's something like there's money in there to put in 500,000 chargers across the country.
Correct.
So that'll
help. Toyota itself also has a hydrogen-powered car, but we don't have any here because there's no infrastructure to fill it.
Yeah, so where do they have it?
Japan.
Japan, of course. Why
right.
Why wouldn't they?
Right.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, I wonder if that'll ever make it over here.
If they get the infrastructure, it'd be great to have it here.
Yeah, it's got some advantages.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Scott in Galena, Illinois, has a question for you. Let's go there. Scott, hi.
Hi.
What can we do for you today?
Yeah, I have a 2015... GMC Acadia, and the 2 front tires are wearing on the inside. I had bought a new set of tires for it. Anyway, I noticed that one of them was wearing on the inside, and I got looking, and then both of them were wearing on the inside. So I bought a new set of tires. I took it down and had the wheels aligned, and the person said that it's right on. He says there's no adjustment needed. He said it was just perfect. The wheels are balanced. The bearings are good. The ball joints are good. I don't know where to go now.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many miles are you putting on those tires before you're seeing wear?
Well, those had, they had over, they had about 7,000 or 8,000 miles on them.
Okay.
Yeah.
With those type of vehicles, the front tires are going to wear faster. So if you have an alignment, that's great. But you should also rotate them every 5,000. And it would make the wear be less, or more evenly, I should say.
Yeah. So if you haven't done that, Scott, that's something you ought to be thinking about every 5,000.
Yeah, 7,000 to 8,000 is quite a bit to not rotate them.
Okay. There you go, Scott. Thank you for calling. Christina in Solon Springs, your turn. Hi, Christina.
Hi. I am driving a 2018 Prius, and I love it. I really love it. But I just learned from my son-in-law that there is a problem with the battery. If you do not clean or keep your battery, your filter intact, then it will kill the battery. Is this true, or what can I do to maintain or to keep my battery life as long as possible?
Well, there is a filter on there. You can take it in once in a while, like once or every couple of years, and have it cleaned. Usually we don't see a problem with those filters clogging or getting clogged up. So we're not having a problem with that as we speak.
Yeah. So it probably depends on the kind of conditions that you're
correct
that you'd be driving in. If you're, I don't know, dirt roads or dusty roads or whatever, would that be a thing to?
Yes. If you're driving through road construction a lot, I would probably have it cleaned. It would be dirtier. Same with the air filters or cabin filters for that matter.
And is that expensive to get that done?
No, it's not too bad at all.
Okay, so every something to think about every couple of years, Christy.
Yes.
All right, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address, ideas@wpr.org. Let's turn to Steve in Madison next. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, he passed over quite quickly. Please say a lot more about the products that you run through the gas to clean the fuel injectors.
Oh, the fuel injector cleaner, sure. You could use something as easy as Seafoam. It comes in a white can. You can get it at Menards or any parts store. And I would dump a can of that in twice a year, just in the gas tank.
Is it? And so there's no problems with it or anything?
No. But that helps keep the injectors clean. And you'll notice that later on in life, the more miles you get on the car, it'll run smoother.
I haven't done that with my Highlander. Should I be doing that with my Highlander?
I would do it twice a year, yeah. Just dump it in a full tank of gas and run it. There's nothing else you have to do.
Mm-hmm. What's the product name?
Seafoam.
Seafoam.
Yes.
Seafoam, okay.
All right. Thanks, Steve, for calling. Appreciate it. I got to write that down. I've got to get my car in for service anyway.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in that stuff.
All right. Gary in Chippewa Falls, on to you.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I have I purchased a 2018 diesel Equinox, and they talk about fuel economy. My wife and I, if we're driving 55, we get over up to around 54, 55 miles per gallon.
Wow.
And then I have, I was so pleased with that. Last winter, I bought a 2021 Silverado with a 3.0 liter diesel, and it's a four-wheel drive, full-size pickup. I normally get between 24 to 26 miles per gallon on the highway with that.
That's great.
It is. And I guess my other Silverado I had, I was getting down around 17.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I know it runs a little more for the fuel, but I mean, I do come out in the long run. And I'm wondering why diesels aren't pushed more around here.
Again, the infrastructure. And that's why diesel costs so much money. That's the most amount of the fuel that we use. It's all, everything's diesel, trains and boats and ships and all that. That's the reason why Toyota doesn't have their diesel here, is because, you know,
the cost of the gas,
the cost of the fuel. Yeah.
So there aren't enough places where you can stop and
correct. And we need more refineries for diesel.
Oh, okay. Gary, thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. Marty in Elkhorn, on to you now. Hi, Marty.
Hey, good morning. I have a 2020 Tesla Model 3, and within the last week or two, when I turn either left or right, there's like a rubbery, squealy kind of sound coming out of the left front tire. And I don't know if it's a problem with the tire or if it's a some bushing, maybe. Your thoughts?
You could have a little bit of brake squeak there, possibly. You know, the brakes aren't used a whole lot, so that you could have a little rust ridge on the rotor, possibly. I'm thinking if you had a low tire, it would shoot up a warning for you. So it's probably not that. You could just take a look at the tire and make sure that the tread looks good and everything. But it's probably a brake squeak, to be honest with you.
Huh? Nothing to do with the tire at all.
Probably not.
Well, Marty, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org. Ideas@WPR.org. Dennis Watoon, our guest today, ASC Master Technician with Toyota of Brookfield. Molly Stentz, our producer, Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer, and Trina LaSousa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. How's your automobile running these days? Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network, taking a look at vehicle maintenance with our guest, Dennis Watoon, ASE Master Technician with Toyota of Brookfield. He has more than 30 years' experience with vehicle maintenance and repair. So it's great to have him with us. And hope you'll join in. And lots of people have. So we'll go to Tanya in Edgerton next. Hi, Tanya. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I have a Toyota RAV4 and has 119,000 miles. And it only squeaks in the brakes when I back up. And I did have the shoes looked at, and they said those were fine.
Okay, yeah, sometimes you're going to hear that in reverse because there's metallic metal in the pads. Sometimes first time in the morning you're probably hearing that noise, I'm guessing. In reverse?
I'm sorry, you broke up. Can you repeat that?
Are you hearing that noise first thing in the morning when you back up?
At various times a day. It's just embarrassing when you're in like in a parking lot and it just squeaks.
So it's a squeak, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if there's rust on the rotors, that could create a problem. Your pad material might still be very good, but you might have some rust on the rotors because this is Wisconsin and that happens.
So
either they replace the rotors or machine them, and that usually would make that noise go away.
Yeah. Okay. There you go, Tanya. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Joan in Superior. Hi, Joan.
Hi. I have a 2014 Chevy Equinox. It hesitates on me. It's getting worse. It actually has stalled out on me. It acts like bad gas. I put in a full tank of premium with some seafoam in it. That did not help. I brought it to the mechanic twice. Nothing comes up on the computer. The check engine light is not on. The mechanic even took it home with them overnight. They say there's nothing wrong with it. Well, there is. It actually will quit on me. I don't know what to do.
So when does it quit on you? And so you're just driving
when
and
so starts out, when it after it gets going, it's fine. But when I first started, I can drive about a block, and then it starts dogging like bad gas, and then it will die unless I kind of pump it real quick for gas, and sometimes even then it will die.
How many miles are on the vehicle?
105,000.
Okay.
And I did have the air filter changed on it also.
There's several sensors that could be given. You did do the spark plugs. Okay. There's several sensors that could be acting up on you. That's the problem. without hooking a computer to it and reading it as it's going to do it, it's almost impossible to tell what the problem's going to be. So they would actually have to hook a scan tool to it and read the data as it's happening to see what is not working.
But that's what the problem is? One of the
sensors is probably acting up. It's not doing it all the time, of course, but it's acting up.
And it could be one of
10 sensors, and that's the hardest thing to find when it does it intermittently.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
So you got to almost leave the car with
them. You got to leave the car with them, and they're going to have to drive it extensively to make it happen and then be able to find a problem for you.
Oh. And does it happen the first thing in the morning, or?
Fine. No, it doesn't matter if it's early in the morning, what time. It's just if it has sat for a little while. And it doesn't stop. Like when I'm driving it, I stop at a stop sign or a light. It won't do it then. It's when I first start the car after it has been pulled for a while.
I mean, like.
It'll start fine. It fires a fine. But if I drive it a half a block or a block, then it starts dogging on me.
Yeah, it would be purely a guess otherwise, you know, and to guess at 10 sensors would be astronomical in money. So that's why you need to hook a scan tool and read the data off of it.
So Joan's going to essentially, to get that solved, probably going to have to leave it with the
mechanic. And right, he's going to have to drive it extensively with a scan tool on it, read the data, find a problem.
Wow. Joan, probably not the advice you were hoping to
Sorry.
Hear. Hoping to hear, but that's what it's probably going to take. So good luck to you. I appreciate the call. Paul in Highland, let's go to you now. Hi, Paul.
Good morning. Hey, I got to say, having grown up in Janesville, was not raised on Toyota, but we are a Toyota-loving family and have had a couple Priuses. We'll still have one of them and have a new certified pre-owned Highlander that we really love. But anyway, and my son had a Sienna van that's been great. Well, anyway, the 2012 Prius, suddenly the navigation and some of the buttons on the display no longer work. And I Googled that, basically being a technician myself, but not an auto tech. And it mentions something about possibly a bad solder joint or something in the radio or in that system.
Yes.
And mentions replacing.
Oh.
Lost him.
We lost him. Oh, well, what do you think it was mentioning?
It's probably a bad solder joint in the radio, and then I have to take the radio out of the car and send it to a radio place that restores those, and they could fix that.
So it would have to come out of the car, probably.
Correct, yes. Or replace it with a used radio. You could do that as well.
Okay, it'd be another way to do it.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. Appreciate the call. Jeanette in Eau Claire, on to you now. Hi, Jeanette.
Hello, Larry. Good morning.
Morning. What can we do for you?
Okay, it's back to the electric car.
Yeah.
There's a plugging station not too far from where I live. And there's areas in they park their cars, plug it in, and I don't see a soul around at all. There are areas for people to go and eat or shop. It's a small area. But how long does it take for a car to be...
Charged?
Charged. Yeah. That's the word.
It takes about 90 minutes, actually. That's why they put them next to restaurants and places to eat and things to do, because it does take about 90 minutes on those fast chargers to charge it.
Oh. And then how long does a typical electric run?
250 to 300 miles, they're saying they're getting out of them.
Okay.
Depending on how fast and how many uphills and if you're pulling a trailer and everything else. But, yeah, you're getting about 250, 300 miles out of them.
So that's the and those are fast chargers. Now,
correct.
You can plug it into your own.
And that would take 8 to 10 hours to charge it at your house.
Okay, so you can just put it in overnight, essentially.
Yes, correct.
And then you're good to go.
It's a different way of doing things, because think of how long it takes to fill your car with gas, about 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So it's a big difference. So you have to plan ahead. There's apps on your phone. You can find charging stations next to restaurants and all that. So,
yeah, that's the way to do it. Jeanette, thank you very much. Now you know why they're located near restaurants. Oh, boy. Joe in Star Lake, it's your turn. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, hi, thank you. I wonder whether Toyota sometimes just has a design flaw in a model. I've got a 2000 Sienna van, and we use it for our work. I'm a traveling musician and storyteller. And so we only have 100,000 miles on it, and we keep burning out the resistor for the fan motor. So, in other words, you can go either it's on or it has to be at high speed. It has none of the variations in the speed for the van. We've replaced it twice or three times, and the last time we had to replace the whole unit. We had to get out of went to a wrecking yard, and we got that whole unit, the controllers, because even taking the resistor out didn't fix it. So I wonder if this is a chronic problem with that there's debris getting down there. We've heard that from several mechanics. That could be the reason that it shorts it out.
You could be getting debris down there. How the resistor works is it slows the motor down. So if the motor is drawing too much energy, that burns the resistor out faster. It's also cooled by the air that moves by it. So if there's any debris in there or the motor is getting old, usually what I do is when I put a resistor in, I put a motor in, and there's not a problem.
So you put them both in?
Put them both in, yeah. I know it's a little bit more money, but then you don't have the problem of the resistor continually burning out.
Yeah.
Put any screen material to keep debris getting in there? I don't know why that would be such a case with that van.
No, it depends on where you park it. I've seen people park them underneath trees or anything and leaves start.
In the garage.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. I'll see about putting a motor that might, maybe the motor's drawing too much current.
Put a new motor in it, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Joe, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You know, while I'm thinking about it, my Highlander this morning, I suddenly got a notice that my DAC was, which is a distance assistance control, light was on and said, you know, I got a ding when I slowed down or something. And it was just I thought, what the heck happened there? And I was trying to figure out why that would come on. The only thing I could think of is I may have inadvertently pushed that DAC button. I can't think of what else. Hard to do inadvertently.
It's hard to do, but it does happen. You know, it does happen. People push the button.
So when I get back to the car today, I'm just going to turn it on and push that button and see if I get any.
Correct. Yes. Try that first.
Okay. So that answers my question. What about Chris in Appleton? Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. I agree with your guest that it is a sensor on that lady's car that called, and I know exactly which one it is. It's the absolute sensor, pressure sensor, or otherwise known as the, well, some mechanics call it different things, but
or
the
sensor.
MAP sensor.
Yes.
Right, yeah, and all she has to do is unplug the little plug on the MAP sensor is just a little box right up on the firewall. And if the car starts up, then you replace that part. I've had that happen all the time.
Yeah, you can definitely try that, but I don't feel that she was ready to work on her own car, so that was a problem.
But she could take it back to the mechanic.
Correct.
And just give that a try.
Right, correct.
Why not give it a shot? The MAP sensor. Yep. Chris, thanks. Yeah, appreciate the call. Miguel emailed to ask, what kind of gas gets you the best mileage for your money? Regular, premium, E85, or unleaded 88?
Wow. Depends on the car. What car are you driving? You know, if you're driving a Prius, it doesn't even like premium. It does not run better. So, like, the mid-grade runs better in that car. Some of the mid-2000s or late 2000 cars... Mid-2000 cars like to run on premium, so it depends on the car.
Yeah. So if we have, Miguel, if we knew your car, we we could give you a little better answer on that one then, because it varies. Let's put it that way. Ron in Manitowoc County, on to you now. Hi, Ron.
Thanks, Larry. Dennis, RAV4 2015 lost function on the lower side of the touch screen. Replaced the touch screen without any improvement. Replaced the LCD screen display in back of the screen. And the functions and radio, et cetera, would only work from the steering wheel buttons. Then went back to the original touch screen, and I'm back to the original problem. Any thoughts?
So your bottom of the screen, you can't activate it with your finger, right?
That's correct. Yes.
So if you take a credit card and stick it down in that bottom edge, it'll work. So that is a screen problem for sure. So I don't know if you keep getting bad screens or a used screen or what the problem is, but try sticking a credit card down in that lower corner and it will flip the button for you.
Oh, and
the right side or the left side or both?
Or both, yeah, because I've seen the whole bottom of that screen go bad where your finger wouldn't change it, but the credit card will do it.
Super.
So that'll make it work. It's not correct. I mean, you need a new screen, but that'll make it work for you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Terry and Robert's email, they have a 1995 Toyota Corolla. Sold under the brand Chevy Prism, and they sold it recently. The body had gotten rusty. However, at 27 years old, it still did not burn a drop of oil and still got very good gas mileage. It always averaged between 37 and 42. Why do companies change or discontinue models like this one?
Well, that's an oldie but a goodie for sure. Those things would run forever. You know, and the reason why they change them is... technology, you know, newer technology.
Yeah, I suppose. But I when you got a car like that, it makes you wonder why the heck, why can't we just have that car back?
You want to cry when you lose it, that's for sure. Yeah.
Kathy in Sun Prairie, we'll go to you next. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning.
Hi.
I am planning a long road trip out west, and I want to do it in a stick-shift vehicle.
Okay.
So my 2010 Toyota Camry is stick-shift, and it's got 118,000 miles on it. But I thought it might be better to rent a car so I could save my baby longer. Does it matter?
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, if the rental is cheap enough, I would do the rental because you're usually driving a brand-new car and not putting the miles on your car. Mm-hmm. Not saying your car wouldn't make it. I'm sure it would be fine, but... you have to think about those type of things.
Yeah. Well, it might be a little more comfortable ride, too.
It might be, sure.
Yeah. So what should Kathy be doing before she goes if she decides to just take the Camry?
If you're going to take the Camry, take it to your mechanic, probably have the oil changed and a check over. Tell them you're taking it on a long trip and you really need it to be gone through.
And speaking of oil changes, how, you know... sometimes people say, oh, every 5,000, but then there's other vehicles that they may say 10,000 miles.
Sure. Well, this will create a huge argument because I'm a firm believer in changing it more often. If you're going to keep the car for a long period of time, I'm saying 100, 150, 200,000, I would change it personally every 5,000 miles. Even though the recommended is 10,000 on most cars nowadays, they're expecting you to trade your car in every once in a while.
Okay. So what's the difference between the 5 and the 10,000 mile? What happens to the oil?
The oil does break down. It gets contaminated. So, I've pulled apart engines with, you know, high miles on them and the lack of oil changes. They, you know, there was an extreme amount of wear in there. Sure.
On the engine itself.
Even with synthetic fluid. Sure. Because they just ran it so long, it gets contaminated.
We'll take another call when you call in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Jerry emailed to ask if charging stations work for plug-in hybrids like the RAV4. If so, how long does it take to charge those? How much does it cost to charge a plug-in hybrid?
I'm not sure about the plug-in hybrid, but I know like your Tesla is about $20 if you need a full charge on it, $20 to $25 to fill it. I'm not sure about the plug-in RAV.
If the charging stations work for the plug-in
Correct.
RAV?
Yes.
Ah, okay. That's a good one to look up.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
But $20 is, I think I spent about $50 to fill my car with gas yesterday. So that's quite a difference.
But you're also paying more for the electric car.
Yeah. A lot more. Oh, man. Sonia in Madison, what's on your mind?
Hi. Let me turn my radio down. I just got a 2021 Tesla a year and a half ago, and I love it, and I wanted to let the lady know that was asking questions that if you drive it around town, it never goes to empty. So I go home, and sometimes it'll take 20, 30 minutes to recharge it to as full as I go, which is about 80%.
Because you're keeping it full, yes.
Yeah. So if I go to Milwaukee to visit a friend, I can make it there and back, and I have about 20% left. So it's not an empty. So that works for me. And I made two trips now to Boulder, Colorado, where my kids live. And one was in the summer, and I made it in one day, starting at 3 in the morning, getting there about 8 o'clock at night. I had one stop for about 40 minutes, but the rest were all maybe 20 minutes at the most, and I had no trouble finding chargers. They've made it pretty easy. And then I did one in the winter to Boulder. That was a little harder because I had to make six stops, and two of them were 60 minutes. But I like to keep my heat on.
Sure, yeah.
Which
that'll use a little bit more power for sure.
Yeah. So I love it. I love it. I'm driving one right this minute, and I'll go home and I'll just plug it in, and it'll
work.
And yeah. My husband complains about his big SUV and the gas, and I just go, ha ha.
That's great.
Oh, you know, there's a question that comes to mind with these cars and the charging. You know, we talk about sometimes your phone or whatever, that if you just keep it charged at the top, that you're going to wear it. You may wear the battery down faster or wear the battery out faster. Anything come to mind in that way? Is there a problem with that?
They just say it's better to have it charged than not charged, than to fully discharge it. You know, you don't want it fully discharged. You want to keep it at the top or top level, especially with a car, because let's say you run that thing down and the charging station's full and you can't charge it. Now what do you do? You're stranded. So don't ever let yourself get stranded with an electric car. Always keep some charge in there for sure.
Yeah. Sonia, thanks again. Appreciate it. Ron, in Independence, your turn. Hi, Ron.
Hi. I've got an 09 Toyota Prius. And I'm wondering, when do I know when my big battery needs to be changed?
Oh, that car will tell you. All kinds of lights will come on in the dash. I've seen those batteries go from 50 to 350,000 miles. So it's going to let you know by coming on in the dash.
So there's really no way to know. I suppose it's like any other engine.
Yeah. It's a very smart car, so it'll send lights on and you'll know. So.
Oh. There you go, Ron.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it then.
Don't worry about it.
Just keep driving it.
Keep driving it.
Thank you. Dave in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Let's go to you. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, you've answered part of it with that last gentleman. I've got 155,000 miles on my 2010 Prius, and everything's running normal. At some point, I'm going to have to replace the batteries. What is the average cost now for replacing those batteries?
Anywhere from the range $2,000 to $3,000, roughly. But like I said, they don't go bad until that light goes on. So, you know, my experience is the cars that sit a lot, the batteries go bad faster. The cars that are driven daily, they last longer.
So my daughter's Prius, which is an old one. Mm-hmm. It's been around a long time. Now she's off to school, but she left the car at home. I drive that car once a week.
That's good for it, yeah, for sure.
I think Jim from the other Toyota dealer that I'm talking with one time said, yeah, make sure you get out there and drive it at least once a week.
Keeps the battery charged and keeps the rust off the rotors.
Oh.
So, for sure.
Okay. So there you go, Dave. Paul in Lake Geneva, we'll go to you then. Hi, Paul.
Good morning. I have a 2005 Honda Element, and I recently had the catalytic converter stolen off of it.
Ouch.
And I was wondering, I live in a county where I don't need an inspection, and I was wondering if I had a pipe run from the engine to the pipe where the muffler is, would that harm the engine performance?
It won't harm it. It's probably going to send lights on for you, though, which could be a problem.
But otherwise...
Yeah, your check engine light will be remain on.
All the time. Yeah. So you don't know if another problem comes up.
Correct. You could have other problems accumulating. You don't know it. That's the problem with that.
So because of this business about these catalytic converters being stolen, I had the Toyota dealer install... a frame or something that fits over the converter.
Sure. I've seen a few of those out there on the market that people have put on.
And the thinking is, well, they can still get it off but it's a lot more work.
It's a lot more work, right.
And so, and they give you a handy dandy sticker, which I put right prominently on the back bumper of the Prius.
Good idea. Yeah, good idea.
And that just let people know that, hey, if you're going to try and steal this one, you're going to have to work at it.
It's kind of like an alarm system in your house. You have a sticker on the window, right? Same thing.
So that's worked for me. So if you're going to replace it, that converter, Paul, you might want to make sure you get one, spend an extra, what is it, $200 or something.
Yeah, there's several on the market right now that you can buy, you know, brackets that go over it to help guard it.
Yeah, it's worth the money, I think, because I live here in Madison. We've had a lot of them stolen. Sure. So it's worth the extra few bucks. Dennis in Dubuque, Iowa, your turn. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Thanks
appreciate
for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I have a problem. When I go to, I got a 2011 Silverado, and at one time I go to the stoplight and I take off and it went, blah, 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 blah. And I took it to my repairman. He checked my brakes, my ABS, and they put two front new axles on. That's been 700 miles ago. It's doing it again. I have no idea.
Does it seem like it's coming from the back or the front?
It seems like the front.
It does seem like the front. So they have put new axles in it. The drive shaft U-joint could be getting loose or rusty. Same with the back drive shaft U-joint.
I thought of that drive shaft, if that would even do that, make it, you know, but it goes away after I get going.
Yeah, a lot of times you got to pull the drive shaft out and actually feel the U-joint to make sure it feels smooth. And a lot of people don't do that because it's work, of course. But that's what I would recommend, is taking the drive shaft out, feeling the U-joint.
And make sure it's smooth.
Yeah, because it will do it on takeoff, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it might start when I get up to the stop sign, and then it'll keep right there at that spot. And then when I take off, it rumbles, and then it smooths out.
Sure. I know on that model truck, they've also had torque converter problems in the transmission as well that made some rumbling noises, so that could be it as well.
Torque converter. Oh. Something else to think about too, Dennis, or maybe ask about. Thank you for calling. Good luck. Appreciate the call. Dennis Watoon, our guest today, ASE Master Technician with Toyota of Brookfield. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at vehicle maintenance on the show today, Larry Mueller here with my guest, Dennis Watoon, who is an ASE Master Technician. Works with Toyota of Brookfield, so great to have him along. Lots of callers online, so we'll go back to the phones. And James in Duluth, Minnesota, we'll go to you. Hi, James.
Hello?
Hi, what's on your mind, James?
Hey, guys. Hey, so my dad bought this old 1974 Cadillac Eldorado a few years ago. Kind of has it there, so I've been fixing it up and riding it around. the one thing that we can't seem to fix is the brakes. We brought it in a few times, and we get it looked at, and the brakes just do not seem to hold. I mean, they work, but you got to push down real hard, and they're real soft, and they're not very safe.
Oh, that's that doesn't sound good.
Well, it's a classic car, and that's awesome to begin with. So you want to make sure your rotors are not rusty, your calipers are not hanging up, your pads are not hanging up. And same with the back. I'm sure that car has drum brakes on the back. You just want to make sure nothing's hanging up and the surfaces are clean. I would go after that first. I'm not saying it could be a bad master cylinder, too, because of the age of the car.
Yeah, well, last time I got it fixed, you know, they were pretty tight coming down the road, and I just, I guess I pushed down the brakes a little bit too hard. I heard a screech, and then they went wobbly again. So,
did you check your fluid level? Is the fluid level low? You might have blown a line.
Yeah, the fluid level's fine.
Okay. Also, you can adjust the rear brakes on that car because of being drum brakes. There's a star wheel in there that you can adjust, and it usually gives you a higher brake pedal as well.
So, have you got that? Did you get that part, James?
I think I did, yeah.
Yeah. So try making sure the rear brakes are adjusted up, you know, and that would should help you greatly as well. And, of course, there's no leaks or anything hanging up.
Yeah, all things to think about. James, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Alfred in Cottage Grove, what's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. On a total electric vehicle, does the battery that powers the vehicle also power air conditioning in the summer and heating in the wintertime? And how does that affect the range of the vehicle?
Yes, it does power those units. It depends on how much you use them. It's kind of like your regular car. How much do you run the air conditioning is how much your gas mileage goes down. So it's very similar.
Oh, okay. So you could cut some percentage of your miles.
Yeah, and that percentage is going to vary greatly on how much heat you use or how much air conditioning you use.
Yeah, but it could be a lot if you're running the air all the time.
It could be. Yeah, it could be.
Probably maybe even worse in the winter because you got to run the heat.
Right, correct. And the heat's all electric in an electric car, of course, not liquid-cooled like a gas-powered car.
So, Alfred, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Rick in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Rick.
Hi. I've got a question about you had made a comment that you should change your oil every 5,000 miles.
Yes.
And I've got like a 2013 Toyota Highlander that I've always had service at Toyota here in Madison. And I get the Mobil 1 synthetic oil.
Yes.
Now, would you make any difference in that, or are you still saying 5,000?
I would still do 5,000, and you know what? The dealership will probably fight you on it, but my personal opinion in doing it all these years is I would do it every 5,000 if I was going to keep the car for very high miles. Mm-hmm. Makes a huge difference.
All right. There you go, Rick. Appreciate it. Lynn in Waukesha emailed to ask if Seafoam will work in older cars. They have a 98 Dodge Dakota, an 01 Nissan Sentra, and a 97 Mazda Protege.
Yes, the Seafoam will work. And all those vehicles also acts as a fuel stabilizer. I would run it even in my lawnmowers and weed eater. It helps. So, yes, you can run it in all those older vehicles.
John in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, John.
Hi. Years ago, I had a full-size van. It was a Ford van. And I guess I had some kind of a shimmy or something. They had it up on the lift. And they had it set up in a way that the engine was running, the wheels were turning. And it was the craziest thing to see what I thought was a bent drive shaft. And it turned out, I mean, they could have easily sold me a new drive shaft. And it turned out to just be the universal joint was seizing up. And that created an optical illusion that the drive shaft was bent. And I really am thankful to that dealership. They didn't take advantage of me.
Right. That's what I was talking about with the U-joint. It's got to move freely. So a lot of times taken off from a stop, you'll hear it squeak or make a noise or a vibration, or even at high speed, it could vibrate. So to have the U-joints move freely is very important.
And save you on if somebody tries to sell you a drive shaft.
Correct.
Yeah, that you don't need. John, thanks for that information. Appreciate it. Juan in Belvedere, Illinois, your turn. Hi, Juan.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have a question about the frame rust issue on the Sequoias and I think the Highlanders or whatever. I know somebody has one. The warranty issues have all been other recourse through Toyota to get this taken care of. My question is there anybody in the aftermarket doing subframes or partial frames or full frame replacement? The vehicle's in great condition, decent mileage. It's a beautiful car. I hate to see them junk it.
As we speak, there's nobody in the aftermarket doing frames for those vehicles. I've done a few myself that were customer pay because the vehicle was in such good shape. I would recommend calling the 1-800 number, which I don't have available, but you can look it up for Toyota and, you know, filling out a complaint with them first. That's what I would do.
Yeah, if you haven't done that already, I would I would definitely do that. And that was a 10-year-old?
No, it was a 2012, I think, Sequoia.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all
some of
the warranty issues have been resolved. It's gone through the process. I've had the VIN number run, and supposedly it's all been, as far as I know, I don't know that he called the number.
Yeah, I would suggest calling the number and you know, filling out a complaint as we speak. You know, if all the warranties run out, there's nothing they're going to do with it. It would be a customer pay situation on that. It could be done. It's just not inexpensive.
Yeah, for sure. Juan, thank you for calling. And let's turn to Roger in Grantsburg. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Larry. How are you doing today?
Good. Appreciate the call.
I got a question for him. I went in one other day. I'm still stuck in the old square body Chevy world back in the, like, 70s.
Great
I
truck.
I got an answer for the guy with the caddy, too. Have him check his proportion valve.
Yes, that could be a problem as well.
I had that issue happen on a Century. Buick Century. But anyway, my question is ATF fluid. Oh, my God. I walked into the parts store, and I'm looking at automatic tranny fluid. Was going to put some in my old Chevy. And it's like, when did you have to become a technical wizard to buy tranny fluid? There's like, it used to be, you know, Mercon, Dextron 3, and then 8 and Type F. And all of a sudden, now you're like, wow, what oil? Well, the parts guy, he's like, I have no clue. He didn't know nothing. Oh, what replaces what?
Well, so if you have a Chevy square body, the newest would be the Dextron 4, would probably be the newest for that truck.
And the truck is, how old is the truck?
Oh, back in the 70s.
Yeah, it's definitely the Dextron. There's so many different fluids because of the different transmissions that we have nowadays, but you would still run a Dextron in there.
Okay, that's my that was my question. I appreciate that. I looked at oil, and it's like, oh, my God, what do I put in here?
A lot of choices.
A lot of choices. Thanks, Roger. Appreciate it. Jeff in Grand Marsh. Hi, what's on your mind?
Hi. I just listening to the previous caller about the rusty frame. A couple weeks ago, I was at J&L Four-Wheel Drive in Madison, and they had a chart on the wall of a company that makes gussets for a handful of different vehicles that have that problem, the frame rusting out. And
sure,
they make an assortment of gussets. And I don't know if they weld on or bolt in. I don't know how they do that, but there's fixes out there.
It depends on the rust on the frame. I've seen some of those frames that were rusted all the way down the entire length of it. Now, I've also seen some of them where the AC drain dripped on it and there was just a little hole. That's a huge difference. So could it fix every one of them? Probably not. Could you fix some of them? Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Thank you, Jeff and Lee in Cudahy. Hi.
Hello. I have a RAV4 2020.
Okay.
And we purchased it brand new, and the dealership never told us that it needed nitrogen.
Okay.
In the tires?
In the tires. And when I went there, because it was a bumpy ride when we got the car, and they said, oh, we'll just put some air in the tires. And they don't have any hydrogen in their facility.
Okay.
And we had a terrible ride. So finally I found a dealership that's 50 miles round trip to take care of the car. You know, every 6 months you got to go in for that. And I went, I called all around, and I can't find a Toyota dealership. And I'm thinking of coming out to your Brookfield one, because we used to have a Camry, and I loved going out there.
Sure. Not all dealerships were going to have the nitrogen. You should call ahead first and make sure they have nitrogen if that's what you want. Keep in mind the air that you are running in the tires is 75% nitrogen to begin with. So the nitrogen machine makes it 99.8%. So it does change it a bit.
But there's but she wouldn't have to.
She wouldn't have to, correct. Correct.
Okay. Lee, thank you so much. Dennis Witoon, our guest today. And he's going to be with us right up until 12:30 to talk about vehicle maintenance, and I hope you will join in. We'll take a quick look at the news and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with Dennis. And you can call us right now if you want at 800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Helping you out with your vehicle maintenance questions today on the show, Larry Mueller here with my guest, Dennis Witoon, ASE Master Technician with Toyota of Brookfield. Great to have him with us and love to hear from you. Our lines are all filled right now, so I think what we'll do is go to the phones. Jude in Viroqua, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a 2020 Toyota Highlander Hybrid. I had a couple of tires that had nail holes in them, and I had those nail holes repaired, and I'm wondering if I should be concerned for any long trips, like a couple thousand miles, if I should just have all the tires replaced before any long trip.
How many miles are on the car?
About 18,000.
Okay, so the tires are new yet. Wouldn't, unless the low tire light keeps coming on or anything like that, I would run the tire. The tire should be fine.
Okay, yep. It doesn't come on anymore since the repair.
Yeah, then you should be fine. They still have low mileage on the tires. I would still run it.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for calling. How do they repair those these days? I mean, the old days, they used to put some kind of a rubber plug in there or something.
Yeah, usually it's a patch on the inside with a rubber plug that plugs the hole. So it keeps it from weather getting inside the tire, but there's a patch with a plug on it.
I got it. Okay. Let's go to Chris in Madison. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I have a kind of a silly question and then a more serious one. My 2012 Prius V, I think all of them do this, makes a like almost a burp-like noise about 30 seconds after you turn it off. I've just always been curious what that is.
There's a couple noises it could be making. There's a hybrid water pump that you could be hearing. Also in the dash, the blend doors could be self-adjusting, and that you could be hearing that as well, but it's one of the two.
Yeah, you'll walk away from it in the parking lot, and it makes
boop. Okay. Also, it's got a motor on the EVAP canister, which could also make a little noise, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other question, I don't know if this is up your line, but I love this car, and they no longer make the Prius V. What's a comparable car I can look at for next time?
So if you're going to get rid of the Prius V, you know, there's still several Priuses that you can choose from.
What is it about the Prius V that people
it's a,
like?
It's a, go it's ahead. A little bigger. It's a little like bigger. A station wagon size, and it doesn't have that wind jam across the back window, which I like for visibility.
Right, but yeah, there's several Prius models you can choose from, you know, as we speak. So,
are there ones that have that same kind of look out the back window and so forth, or size as the Prius V?
Well, they're coming out with new ones now, so I'm not sure what the new one's going to be like. So we'll have to wait and see.
But you think it might be.
Yes, it could be, sure.
All right. So stay watching, Chris, for sure. Dave in Madison, your turn. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I have a 2008 Toyota Solara convertible 3.3 engine, 102,000 miles. How long is that timing belt going to last before it breaks?
I would replace it about 120,000 miles. Also put a water pump in at the same time.
The way, as long as they get the car apart, is that why?
Yeah, the water pump is right there. The belt actually runs the pump. So if the pump fails, it's going to take the belt out.
That's a good reason to want to replace them both.
That's an awesome car. You know, like I said, I would do it about 120,000.
All right. There you go, Dave. Susie in Springfield, Illinois. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Good afternoon. I have a non-Toyota question.
Sure.
Okay.
I have a 2004 Audi A4 convertible. It's a Quattro 6-liter. And one of the problems with them is that the window eventually separates from the top. The car has been maintained. People think it's new if they don't know Audis. And mechanically, bodily, everything very, very well maintained. Is it worth it to replace the whole top? Because if that's the only fix for it. And to put some money into it. I'm just afraid if I put $3,000 to $5,000 in it and it gets totaled, I know the insurance company is going to say, oh, here's $50. Have fun.
Correct. I've ran into similar problems with cars that I have owned. I put a new top on it and the car gets crashed and they want to take it. And, but yeah, so if the car is truly that clean and you're going to keep the car and you're keeping it that nice, I would spend the money and put a top on it. And I would call around. There's several top companies around that put tops on. You don't have to take it to Audi.
You could take it somewhere else.
Yeah, there's special places that, you know, do convertible tops, and I would take it to one of those places.
All right. There you go, Susie. Thank you. Bill in Wisconsin Rapids, your turn. Hi, Bill.
Hello. I have a question. There's a 68 Shelby.
Okay.
4-speed. First and second gear is good. When you hit third and fourth, there's a howling in there. Would that be the rear end or?
So when you hit third or fourth gear, it makes a noise?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, that's a sweet car. Second of all, it's going to be a bearing. It's going to be a bearing inside the trans. But normally, if you're going to pull the trans apart, you're going to put new synchros and all the bearings in it.
Uh-huh.
So fluids, have you checked the fluid to make sure the fluid's full before you do any damage?
Didn't check it.
I would check the fluid to make sure it's full just so you don't do more damage. And if it gets louder, obviously I would stop driving the car. But you're going to be looking at pulling the trans and replacing the bearings in it.
All right. So. There you go. And you work a lot with, I mean, that's kind of an avocation for you too, isn't it? A little bit, Dennis?
Yeah, I restore old cars, so I'm quite familiar with a lot of that old stuff. Old Land Cruisers especially, Chevelles and GTOs, all that good stuff. So, yeah.
All right. There we go. Bill, good luck. Thank you. Jeff in Door County, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my call. I don't think this is going to be expensive as a tranny on a Shelby. I've got a 2010 FJ Cruiser, and the one headlamp in the last 2 years, the right headlamp continues to burn out. It goes for like 6 months, then the high beam doesn't work. The left one is the original. No mechanic can seem to figure out what's wrong with the why this one bulb keeps burning out. So I'm hoping maybe you can help me troubleshoot this so I quit buying expensive bulbs.
Well, that's a great car you're driving. I drive the same thing. Mine's a 2012. So my experience would be that the connector that hooks to the headlight is loose or burnt a little bit, and that's creating your bulbs to keep burning out.
So what does he do?
So you probably got to replace that connector. Usually they'll sell the connector with a little pigtail on it, and you got to solder it in.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right.
Thank
you. Thanks a lot for calling. And let's see, Dave in Marshfield. On to you. Hi, Dave.
Yes, hi. Thanks for the call. So I got a 06 Sienna minivan, and I got the three engine lights come on. I'm wondering if that's like a vapor lock with the gas cap. And then my second question is, when I make a hard left, the front tires seem to like make a noise where like that. Would that be the CV joint?
Yeah, that would probably be the CV joint. If you turn it on hard turn and you, especially under acceleration, if it makes it worse, it's probably that joint. Now the lights, okay. The lights that are on, all the lights are on?
No, it's just the three Well, now just recently the maintenance light came on, but it's just the three, I don't even remember what they are. One's on the left and two are on the right.
So what happens is when the check engine light goes on, it usually sends other skid control and other lights on. So usually you concentrate on the check engine light and run the codes and see what it is. It could be several things. You may, you know, you could have a bad O2 sensor, catalytic converter, or one of the sensors could be malfunctioning, but you have to run the code to figure that out.
Okay. So nothing with a vapor lock or anything like that.
No, I highly doubt vapor lock. But, you know, run to a parts store and have them run the code for you, and you can go from there.
Okay. And should I be changing my timing belt then? You know, it's got 323,000 on.
If it hasn't been changed, yeah, it should be done every 120,000 on that vehicle with a water pump.
Change it, the water pump along with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Dave, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jeff in West Allis next. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I have a question. I have a 2020 Lexus ES350, and I have a, like, whining sound coming from underneath the hood upon acceleration.
Okay. On that car, it could be all – how many miles are on it?
Just hit 50,000.
50,000?
So 2013.
Try turning on like the headlights and all your accessories to see if it changes the noise. It might be the alternator making some noise.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
Try that.
Thanks for calling, Jeff. Lindsay emailed. She has a 2013 Prius C2 with 207,000 miles. She hears a weird snapping sound coming from the dash, the radio control area, the CD area, every time she starts the vehicle. Like you're snapping your fingers, it happens two or three times. First occurred in August 2nd. Since then, the AC hasn't worked. Everything else is buttons, blower speed, et cetera, work like they're supposed to. Any idea?
Yeah, that's probably one of the blend doors in the dash, changing the circulation of the air. So if you change it from recirc to fresh or from feet to head, you can hear those doors moving in there, and it's probably one of those doors that's acting up there, maybe debris in it even.
So you probably can't do that yourself. You have to take it in and
probably have to take it in for that, yeah.
And let's let somebody look at those doors.
Yeah.
Mike in Oshkosh, hi.
Hello. Got a slightly off-the-wall question. I've got a 1997 turbo diesel Chevy pickup truck. And way back in the day, I used to buy motor oil by the case on sale. Well, all the motor oils, or many of them that I have cases of here, are things that my current vehicles don't like. The current vehicles like 0W20, 0W40, and I've got 10W40, 5W30, things like that. Can I pour those into the fuel tank and burn them as fuel in my truck, do you think, if I don't overdo it?
You know, very small amounts. I wouldn't do a whole lot because you have problems with fuel filters. Even though it's a diesel, diesels are still very finicky. They like good fuel. They truly do. I have a similar car to yours with the turbo diesel, and it likes good fuel.
So
I probably would not recommend doing that.
Mm.
These are all brand new, totally sealed containers of oil.
Right.
And I'm quite familiar with the diesel liking. I've had this thing for like 10 years.
If you had a full tank of fuel in there, yeah, you could dump a quart or so in there. It wouldn't hurt it. You know, it would burn it, sure.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Mike, thank you. Appreciate it. Betsy in Lanesboro, Minnesota. On to you. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Fine. Hey, I'm going to buy a 2001 RAV with 170,000 miles. It's a one-owner car. Pretty well taken care of. It's got rust underneath. But the engine light goes on every now and then. And also, I have to put struts on the back, on the rear. What do you think?
Why does the check engine light go on? Do we know?
Well, they say, I know the people, it's probably gone on and off, and they just think, and they've taken it to dealerships and everything, and they, something about the oxygen possibly.
Oxygen sensor? It would be an oxygen sensor. Yeah, I would probably replace that because that adjusts the fuel intake.
Okay.
I would probably fix that. On that age of a vehicle, that's a great vehicle. Making sure it's not leaking a bunch of oil, it's not burning oil, and it's not extremely rusty underneath. Because if it's extremely rusty underneath, you're gonna, you know, your brake lines and fuel lines will rust out, and that's kind of expensive to fix all that.
Yeah. So something to think about. Betsy, thank you for calling. Jerry in La Crosse. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a 2016 F-150, and need a new set of tires. Is it advisable to use the spare under my on the back for one of the new tires?
Well, some people do, as long as it's the same brand, exactly the same brand and same size. Some people do that, but if it's the different brand than what you're running, you don't want to do it because it will be a different profile.
Okay. So that's something to think about, Jerry. Mike in Milwaukee, thank you for calling.
Hi. So I have an 09 Audi S5, and I tried to turn it on one day, and it just wouldn't start over, and it's saying parking brake malfunction, and then it says ESP fault on the dashboard. What do you think's up with that?
So it won't turn over, or just does the engine turn
there's
over?
Power, there's power to it, but there's no. It won't turn over. It won't. Yeah, it just won't.
Okay. How many miles are on the car?
206.
It could be a starter. So if you keep trying it and trying it, will it start then?
No, it won't at all. It was fine that day I was using it, and then all of a sudden I was going to hop on, get on the road, and it just would not turn over anymore.
Yeah. I mean, as long as the battery is full and you're sure of that, it could be a starter acting up as well. Cause especially with that starter mileage engine on it, it could be starting to, you know, get worn.
So look at the starter. Does it cost a bunch to repair that or replace that?
Being an Audi, yeah, it's probably pretty pricey. You could also run engine codes on it to make sure there's no engine codes in it. But battery and starter, number one things on that car.
Okay. There you go, Mike. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Are electric batteries better now? Are they lasting longer?
It does seem like they are lasting longer, yes. Yeah.
What's the record you've got on a Prius in terms of that you can, in terms of miles?
Miles? 357,000, I believe.
Jeez.
Yeah, on the original battery.
Must have driven like a ridden like a lumber wagon.
They were over the road salesmen. They just drove it and drove it. So yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So 357,000 miles. But what's the average?
There really is no average. Like I said, 150, 200,000. But I've seen them, you know, where it was a grandma driven car once a month and it went out at 50,000 or 30,000. So
Ray in West Salem emailed. He has a 2013 Kia Sorento. The battery's been dead whenever the temperature is in the 90s this summer. So the mechanic has tested the battery and it tests just fine. It's been doing this every week this summer when it's been so hot. You have to jump start it every time it happens. So when it's hot over 90 or something, the battery won't work.
Wow.
But then he goes and has it tested, and they say the battery's fine.
Wow. I would still look at the battery, also the connectors, making sure the connectors are clean and tight. I've had a car this week where the battery tested fine, and they had jump started, and the connectors were corroded and loose.
So the connectors, and if it's not the connectors, maybe just replace the battery anyway?
I probably would, yes, especially if it's old. If the battery's more than 5 years old, I'd probably just replace it then.
Okay. Kirill Intrigo emailed that you mentioned that you felt that oil should be changed every 5,000 miles. Is that true of all synthetic oil?
Personal experience, yes. The dealership, again, and the manufacturer are going to fight me on this, but personally, yes. Most of our oils now are synthetic, and they say you don't have to change them, which the car will run fine, but if you're going to run it a lot of miles, I would change the oil.
So if you're gonna run that car till it isn't gonna run anymore,
I would change the oil more regularly.
Yeah, that makes some sense. any in terms of an electric or a hybrid, what are the kind of maintenance can you expect from those? Or, you know, what should you?
Well, on the hybrid, like I said before, that the brakes are not used a lot as on a conventional car because you're backspinning the generator when you hit the brake pedal. So having your brakes checked once a year, making sure they're not hanging up is a big thing. The rotors aren't all rusted out.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, clean oil or keeping the oil clean, of course. Also, the engine air filter, and for you, the cabin air filter. Nobody talks about the cabin air filter. That's the air that you breathe in inside the car. Keep that clean.
Brad in Dane County, thanks for calling.
Hello. Hey, I've got a 2012 Highlander. Every last 6 months or so, on the dash, the electrical connections, mostly with the air conditioning, heating, the fan system. There's a sync button, so all of the temperature is consistent. That'll go off throughout the day.
Okay.
You know, and I push it back on because I can hear a fan kick on for the rear blowers. Is there something that I should take a look at or try to get a code from?
That's probably that controller acting up. You would have to, again, have a computer hooked up to it and read the data on it to see what is actually happening. But it's probably that controller acting up a bit.
Or within the dash, is that?
Yeah, so either you're going to have to live with it or change out that controller probably.
Got it.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. If your car's been sitting a long time, haven't put any miles on it for the last year or two, maybe it's been sitting there, it's worth checking pretty much everything, I would.
Yeah, sitting is the worst thing you can do for a car. It is totally the worst. You know, you're going to want to check the battery. First of all, make it run, get some seafoam in the gas, and probably have somebody check it out to make sure everything is okay and nothing rusted out or there's no rodents living in it or all that stuff.
Yeah, 2 years sitting, rodents can get in there and raise heck with your wiring.
They can wreck it.
Yeah, they can wreck it. Well, Dennis, this has been a lot of fun. I hope you can come back and be with us again and do this another time.
Yeah, I do too. This has been some great questions today. Wow, so many callers again. This is awesome.
Yeah, there's lots of people out there, and they ask good questions.
Yes,
they're good, smart.
Great audience.
Smart, good-looking listeners. That's what we've got here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Oh, man. Dennis Wituna is ASE Master Technician with Toyota of Brookfield. So it's great to have him with us, and hopefully we'll get him back and we'll do this all over again. Tomorrow, Melinda Myers is back for Garden, talked about boosting your summer garden harvest, and we'll tackle all your other gardening questions as well. That's Garden Talk tomorrow at 11, tomorrow and Saturday morning at 6. So hope you can join us for that. In the meantime, thanks so much for listening and stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.